The gospel lesson comes today from John chapter 15. Last words from the last night of Jesus' life. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has now filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. And for this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. Have any truer words ever been spoken or said than those that I just read? I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all now. I'm no inerrantist when it comes to the Bible, but surely this is the word of the Lord. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. And when the advocate comes, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify. We have an advocate in the Spirit beside and inside each of us, and we have the Spirit of truth on our side. And we are called to take the Spirit of truth with us as we testify and bear witness as advocates in and before the world. So Broadway's mission and vision states, we are working to create a church and world where all people are welcome and belong in the beloved community of God. Through the ministries of worship, education, compassion, and advocacy, Broadway provides a place of grace, beauty, sanctuary, inclusivity, and brave faith. It is to the work of advocacy that we are called this morning. Advocare means to call to one's aid. And as Brent McLean shared earlier, we are being called to come to the aid of asylum seekers and other immigrants who are seeking shelter and refuge in the sanctuary of these United States of America. With our Pentecostal global offering, we are being asked to give to the immigration work of our ecumenical partner, Fellowship Southwest, on the southern border, and to join with them in advocating on behalf of immigration reform before our federal and state legislators. We are looking for safer and more pragmatic legal pathways for immigrants to come into our country. And we are being called to lend our vocare, our voices, to these mostly voiceless people who need good neighbors to put in a good word. Christian people lift up their voices. We bear our witness. We get involved and we speak. For silence is complicity, and choosing to say or do nothing is the same as indifference. So we do then lift up our voices and we speak. But of course, we know also that there is a risk to speaking up. When we lend our voices to the voiceless and the powerless, we often earn the ire of the powerful. We see this in the story of that first Pentecost. The early church began to speak, and the next thing they knew, they were being accused of being drunk and out of their minds. So then Peter says something to the effect of, hey, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning and we don't even start drinking till at least noon. So no, we aren't drunk. We are fulfilling the scripture that was spoken of the prophet Joel, who said, in those last days, I declare, I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh, and they shall prophesy. I will pour out my spirit, and they shall speak. So on that great day of Pentecost, the words of Jesus, which he gave to his disciples, came to their fruition. When they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers, and the authorities, do not worry about how you are to answer or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what it is that you ought to say. And as he promised them on the last night of his life, the advocate will come and guide you into all of the way of truth. The advocate will come and prove this world wrong about its judgment and you right about the Spirit of truth when the Spirit of truth comes and lives inside of you. I've been thinking a lot in these recent days about the Spirit of truth and the spirit of this world. Last week, Broadway was the main subject of an ugly and very mean-spirited newsletter published by a local political party here in Tarrant County. It was a hatchet job, and its not-so-subtle thesis was meant to call into question the veracity of our 501c3 status, saying that our advocacy work makes us only a quote-unquote alleged church. It, of course, also calls us radicals And it went on to denigrate my support of trans rights, the book study I led with my wife, Irie, on how to be an anti-racist, and the fact that I have said publicly that I am a card-carrying member of the ACLU. A friend read the piece and said, "Wait till they find out you also fathered 3 interracial children." An anonymous email came to the church the day after the piece was published. "Is your pastor really a member of the ACLU?" "Yes, I am. I am a member of the American Civil Liberties Union because without the ACLU's representation of Mildred and Richard Loving in Virginia, interracial marriage would not be legal in Texas or in any of the other former states of the Confederacy. And I'm also a member because it's the ACLU that is representing Crystal Mason and got her wrongful, fraudulent voting conviction overturned here in Tarrant County. And as for this, quote-unquote, alleged church, well, the historical marker on the sidewalk outside says, we are a church. And we have been so since 1882. The Duttons didn't even come until 1883. We are a church. We preach the word. We administer the sacraments. We meet and we eat and we drink Welch's grape juice just like Jesus. When we have a potluck, somebody shows up with that crunchy green bean casserole, the recipe of which was first made by Martha of Bethany in the Bible. We're a church. We are a church. And we have every right and responsibility to speak about what's going on in our county, in our city, especially when the first sermon of our Lord and Savior that he gave at the inauguration of his whole ministry was a sermon about the release of the wrongfully imprisoned and the deliverance of the economically and spiritually oppressed. We're a church of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we are not going to let this become a distraction or a diversion from the main issues that are facing our community. The spotlight needs to remain right on what's going on downtown, but it should also be known that we are not going to allow ourselves to be silenced. We are not going to be intimidated. We will continue to speak and continue to advocate. It is our duty and our calling. And it is our constitutional right. And to that point, I want to quote Amanda Tyler, First Amendment attorney and executive director of the Baptist Joint Committee on Religious Liberty. She talks about churches and houses of worship not being partisan, but absolutely having every right to speak and engage in the critical matters of public life in the public square. She says this: while churches and other houses of worship cannot keep their nonprofit tax status while engaging in partisan political activity, such as raising money for a candidate or political party, telling the congregation who to vote for or against, or broadcasting political ads, churches in other houses of worship are free to engage in many other forms of political advocacy. Churches are free to talk about and mobilize their members around a variety of topics such as abortion, Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ inclusion, foreign policy, and any other issue without jeopardizing their tax status. Our democracy is stronger with the participation of houses of worship in our public life, Amanda says. And our houses of worship are freer when candidates and parties don't use them for their partisan political purposes. We are not going to be used for the purposes of any kind of partisan politics, either party. But we will use whatever is within our power for the purposes of the public good. We will use our voices for the voiceless, and we will use our advocacy to come to their aid. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, Jesus says. We are called to be his witnesses. We are called to be his advocates. May we answer this call with courage and with conviction. For to us belongs the right to speak and also the responsibility. And to us is given the Spirit which teaches us at just the right time what it is that we are to say, and how it is that we are to say it. Don't worry when they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers, and the authorities, or call you drunk or radical. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at just such a time what it is that you are to say. And the Spirit teaches. It preaches in and through us, and with courage and with conscience. We open our mouths to proclaim the coming of the gospel of Jesus, and also the justice of God. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.